You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. A household name, Nokia, has been renowned around the world and has been breaking through in the form of technology in 5G. But their business has taken a huge pivot. So here to understand them better is Daniel Yeager. He is, of course, the head of Southeast Asia at Nokia. Daniel, you oversee all the businesses, operations across many countries in Bangladesh, Malaysia, in Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, as well as Sri Lanka. I'm sure a lot of these countries have some similarities. Many others are having a lot of problems in terms of trying to roll out the 5G because of the pandemic. Let's do a quick overview into how the Nokia business is tying up with the global climate situation right now.
Okay, thanks Ibrahim, it's good to be here. Indeed, 5G is an important topic for us in basically all the countries that we operate. And yes, COVID has made a bit of impact on all that. But nevertheless, if we look back now on the last 12 months in this specific situation, I would say 5G has not slowed down very much. We had recent contracts announced in Singapore, in Thailand, and in Philippines. So it's going ahead. But okay, it's probably going ahead slightly differently than sometimes it was planned. But also, I think the pandemic situation has shown the importance of telecom networks to keep countries running as they're running today. That is a very important proof point indeed.
Daniel, I had a conversation with the chairman of MCMC, the Malaysian Communications Commission. He was talking more about 5G being rolled out slowly in this country. It's not being delayed. He's also arguing that 5G application is going to impact industries a lot more than individuals. What do you think of these two elements, the timeline of the rollout versus the applications of it?
In broad terms, I would agree with both statements. 5G is not an overnight thing. 5G is not one solution for all communications challenges. If you look at, of course, every country is different from each other. Countries have different challenges. Countries have different topologies, a different population spread. So 5G is fitting in some places very, very well and will be essential basically from day one. But there are other parts of countries, of the population, that don't need 5G at this point in time, where, for example, a good 4G coverage to enable proper broadband is much, much more important than that point in time. So, yes, I do agree that 5G is not an overnight thing, will take time to roll out. And that, if you remember, has been the same when 4G was rolled out as well.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
No, I want to come to your second point on who is the one, who are the ones benefiting from 5G. And you always have, of course, these two target groups. Yes, consumers will benefit from 5G because basically everything that we do today on the network, we will be able to do better. And that can be faster, that can be smoother. If you just look at the fact that you will have more more bandwidth and more volume, that will make gaming easier, that will make it easier to download or to stream whatever we do. But indeed, the real game changer of 5G will be in the enterprise segment, where we will see applications that were impossible in the past that you cannot do on 4G, but that suddenly will become available on 5G. So yes, I would say the impact, in particular on the short term on the enterprise segment, will be bigger. The more exciting things will be happening there.
So let's talk a little bit more about how Nokia is fitting into this whole 5G rollout, as well as the current 4G business. Where do you guys stand on this?
No, on 5G globally, we have a very, very high focus on 5G. We have invested a lot over the last years in R&D. We're holding today around the globe at more than 220 5G contracts that we have signed with customers, and we have more than 60 operator networks live around the world, including a lot of them in Asia, in Australia, New Zealand, Korea, Japan, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand. Of course. So 5G is important for us. Also, when you look at just last week, we announced our results for the previous quarter. 5G was a very prominent part of that. Also, I think it was last week, and an independent consultancy, so it's not our data, an independent consultant that is focused on intellectual property was making the announcement of their study, saying that Nokia is the company with the most, with the highest number of essential 5G patents. Which again, one way or one different way to measure our commitment to 5G. So that's important for us. And of course, we are speaking to all stakeholders in the country right now on how we can work together for 5G, how we can work together, all of us in the industry, to make 5G a success in Malaysia.
So how are you fitting into the Malaysia plan? Because as I understand it, competition is stiffer from Huawei, from Ericsson. How is Nokia standing out amongst the competitors?
Competition is stiff, I would say, everywhere in every country that we operate in. It is a tough competition. But again, we are working with all operators. You're definitely aware of the setup that the Malaysian government has chosen, with having one central entity to run and drive 5G. There's a tender going on right now. And again, part of the work that we do, or the preparation that we work, is speaking and working with everybody that will have an important role in that kind of ecosystem to make 5G successful.
Let's talk a little bit more about what's going to happen in the next few months, because the government has announced that the pilot progress, the pilot tests for 5G that was taking place last year went well despite the pandemic. Rollout is going to happen late this year. In fact, early next year is going to be targeted. But there is a problem of spectrum allocation in terms of it not being announced yet. Actually, it was announced, but then it was repealed, and now it's still silent on that. There's also the termination of the 3G in Malaysia and reallocation of those spectrum to 5G. So there's a lot of technical arguments that is happening right now. What would investors, what would consumers try to understand from the progress of the current situation right now? How do we make sense of the situation, and perhaps how Nokia is going to come along into this progress as well?
Again, Ibrahim, for us, it's participating in the various projects with the individual operators and with DNB, the government entity here. And I think that what we have seen in other countries, if I can generalize it a bit, is bringing broadband, and as part of that 5G, to the population is, of course, a complex project. And there is not one size fits all here. Malaysia is not the same as Mongolia, is not the same as the Maldives or as Morocco. Every country has its own requirements, its own starting point, its own setup. And I think that's the important phase now, to see that you have all the stakeholders. And you mentioned a few of them. The regulator needs to come into the place, provide the spectrum. Then you have the special entity. Then you have the operators that, of course, also have a very important role to play, not just as part of that access networks, but also providing the transport networks that is necessary to bring all that big data volumes that you will have on the radio network back into the network and then distribute it to the other end. So we are really working on different angles at this point in time. And if I see the announcements from government and from the regulator, then there's a lot to happen over the next months until the end of the year with 5G in Malaysia. And it's an exciting journey, and we are happy to be engaged in that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Digital National, Berhad. The announcement was made in March this year about the special purpose vehicle that will be rolling out the 5G network program. It is an MOF-related company. It is to be headed by Ralph Marshall. It is also being the board is going to be diverse. We've seen how it has been being a key maker in terms of how the 5G network is going to be rolled out. What kind of work packages are you working with the DNB? What kind of relationship are we looking at, parcel by parcel? What are those kind of parcel? Those kind of ongoing works. What can you share with us?
There's not much I can share at this point in time. The DNB, of course, has structured its process, its governance alongside a tender, and we are part of that. We have signed a very strict non-disclosure agreement, so I'm not going I'm not able to share a lot on that, but it's a big scope, of course. It's a scope that deviates a bit from what we've done in other countries, where normally, to a large extent, the work would be with the operators. But on the other hand, we are present in 130 countries around the world, and indeed, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. Sometimes it's more the operators. We have also been working with other government entities, national governments, regional governments, similar SPVs. So it's really about seeing how that ecosystem gets together to get that big job of bringing broadband and bringing 5G to the people of Malaysia gets done best.
Right, let's compare and contrast all the other countries that you are overlooking. You mentioned just now Myanmar, Bangladesh, and so on, Sri Lanka. Is Malaysia sort of like behind in terms of the 5G rollout compared to other countries, or is everybody about the same right now?
I would not say that Malaysia is behind. Of course, you have always smaller differences. But if I look at the countries that you mentioned, for example, Singapore has started with the first 5G early rollout in the second half of last year. There's bigger steps happening this year. Philippines has started recently, whereas in some of the other countries like Bangladesh and Myanmar, not much is happening at this point in time. So I would not say that Malaysia is late. It's a normal, I would say, kind of time window where all the countries move together, and they're moving a few months earlier or later. Doesn't really make a huge difference. And again, the situation each and every country is different. Hence, I would not overly compare that in too much detail.
There would be some items that I need to ask you. I don't know whether you're comfortable in answering. The countries that you are overlooking right now, some of them are very nascent in their democracy process. Some of them are well-established. Malaysia, for instance, we have been changing governments. How has all this impacted policy? How has this impacted business in particular? Do you think that this has a long-term negative impact on how the stability of a government, for instance, is going to be impacting how 5G network is being rolled out in all the countries that you are overlooking right now?
Again, I would not see a huge difference based on the factors that you're just describing. Yes, 5G is coming, and definitely the point of having 5G and having a strong and solid and secure 5G is a key competitive factor for any nation at that point in time. So if it goes ahead, or once it goes ahead with the speed and the schedule that was announced, I think it will be an important differentiator for Malaysia as it would be for every other country.
All right, we'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with Daniel Yeager of Nokia. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Daniel Yeager, the head of Southeast Asia, Nokia. Daniel, let's talk a little bit more about the My Jendela program. Many of us are aware that My Jendela is a program that was enacted last year. It was meant to improve on the 4G coverage in Malaysia, particularly in rural and far-flung areas. Is Nokia involved in the My Jendela program?
We are in some part in the work that we do with the operators as such, and the operators are part of Jendela. I think the nice thing that you have here is indeed that you have different projects that cover different priorities. And as you said, bringing broadband into rural areas is a job that still has to be completed. And then now you have 5G on top that addresses a different challenge. As you said rightfully in the very beginning, it's very much towards an enterprise market. So you have different projects and different programs that are with different or specific purposes in the short and medium term, but at the end they all come together to achieve one kind of connected country approach.
Yeah, so this is the thing that we want to tie up from the first two items that we touched on. Number one is the DNB, and number two, the My Jendela, and how this is a slight change of plans to what was initially discussed. Telcos were supposed to roll out 5G in their own right, the operators, I mean. And then, of course, there's the announcement by the MOF. And do you think that this is basically going to change everything how Nokia has to do in terms of rolling out? Has this been easy on you, basically?
has it been easy? I'm not expecting things to be easy every day. It is a different, as you said, it's a change of strategy, but it's not something completely completely new. For example, from a technology point of view, having one access network that would serve a number of operators on it is something that we have done in different places. Actually, we're just doing it right now in Singapore. The setup is a bit different there, but essentially you have the same thing, that you have one access network and then you have two operators that that are using it together. So from that point of view, it's not something that is completely new. We're just doing this not so far away.
Let's talk a little bit more about the merger that is currently taking place between Axiata and Digi. Now, I know this is something that you probably wouldn't comment on, but I want to ask your opinion about operators consolidating their businesses, merging even, to improve on their capital prowess, so to speak, so that they can spend better. Do you think that this is going to be a trend in the way forward, these kind of horizontal mergers, and perhaps would some other operators, for instance, Maxis, for instance, do you think that there comes a time and place where they too would need to merge, but it would be a vertical merger where they have to merge with another entity, maybe a content company? Is this what the industry is expected to do in the years to come?
As you rightfully guess, I don't want to comment too much or speculate too much on the specific merger that you have mentioned. But I think overall, this is not new. Although the shape of the consolidation is changing a bit, but if you look back the last years or decades, there has always been a change in the players in the market in every country that I have been busy with or working with. You will always find countries where for initial spectrum or licensing reasons, they started off with a big number of operators, and then over time, the market will find the right number of operators that can successfully operate in that market. And then you will find other countries where the start was small, and you will start with probably only two operators, and then it's the regulator that over time is adding additional players, either as full service players for the full country or in certain elements, and that of course then brings other dynamics. You're also right, of course, that the integration in, let's say, along the value chain is also a very interesting one right now. And you mentioned content. I think we're seeing a lot of interesting examples happening on how the landscape is changing, on how content is delivered to end users. Probably one more point on that, where I believe there's also a lot of interesting things happening now and more to happen, is about how the enterprise segment is being handled. And again, 5G comes in here with having 5G and the value of 5G for enterprise, or the value of secure 5G for enterprise. Also, operators will have a different role to play on the way forward, to not just to package, but really to work with their customers, and that to a large extent enterprises, on developing the successful 5G use cases.
See, this is the irony of things. When we look at businesses that have flourished over the past year, the big names of tech, we're talking about Facebook, Google, Amazon, they have added value tremendously. Apple, they have tremendously added value. But network operators like yourselves facing a very thin margin business with high capex requirement, telco operators as well facing the same thing, and it becomes imperative for you guys to really look at how you can improve cost optimization. Don't you find it strange that the people that are using your service is making a lot of money, and you yourself is trying to find it hard to just, you know, compete in a very challenging business? What's the future of telco operators? What's the future of network operators like yourselves and your competitors out there?
I can only say straightforward, yes, I find it strange, but okay, that's the world that we are in. But again, the trend is not completely new, but a lot has changed. And again, in particular on how the network operators deal with the providers of the content. I think there's a lot in the flow where there are different models between trying to partner up, where we see our customers working closer with content providers and really forging an alliance or alliances of multiple kind in order to monetize better from a network operator point of view. And then there's the other approach where network operators are trying to insource things and do a lot of stuff by themselves, provide a rounder or more complete package to their customers, and therefore trying to keep the others, the over-the-top colleagues, out of the game. So I think in essence, it's more between the content providers and the network operators. For ourselves, of course, we are partners with both, but to a large extent, of course, we build the networks for the operators. So we are a bit in as part of this triangle, if you want. But the essential question is what is the end user going to pay for, and to whom he or she is going to pay for that content that they get. But it's a bit strange, but it's a very interesting dynamics that you see at this point in time.
For the viewers that might not be familiar with the industry that we're talking in, they only know Nokia as their first phone probably, and we've seen how LG, for instance, have announced a few weeks ago, I think a few months ago, that they're exiting the global mobile business. Nokia has done that for quite a bit. But that's the point. Being a consumer business, you get in touch with a lot of consumers out there. You get in touch with a lot of customers. And it's very easy to grow your brand to become a household brand. Just look at Apple, for instance, right? Do you feel that there could be a time and place for Nokia to re-enter the consumer business and perhaps reimagine how, you know, telco or tech or communications can work for the consumer business?
I think that whole tech will work for the consumer business. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that we need to be part of that. Obviously, it's not me to speculate what we would do as a company strategy in the future, but it's an ecosystem here. The partnerships or the scene of partnerships is very, very lively here. So in order to benefit from something or in order to be present in a certain space, it doesn't automatically mean that you need to be the one who's manufacturing some devices yourself there. I think we are in a good space today as Nokia. Indeed, you mentioned our history is a diverse one. We started 155 years ago, and obviously we had to change our purpose in that game several times over these 155 years. But where we are today in building networks that consist of hardware, of software, of services, build them for operators, for governments, for enterprises. I think we're in a good space. And again, it's not a siloed setup anymore. There's a lot of partnerships that are happening. Some of the companies that you mentioned before are our partners today in providing cloud solutions, for example. So there's really a lot that is happening in a very fast moving and very very open environment, and this openness is also part of how we see the whole way of working together. We promote openness, take Open RAN as one example, where we want to or where we support an approach to have open interfaces to really allow players in the ecosystem, no matter large or small, to work together to bring forward innovative solutions.
Yeah, this is something important to talk about. The business ecosystem that exists within the information sector is also quite commendable. There's a lot of frenemies out there, but at the same time, you kind of need each other to make sure
somehow.
That somehow or other, right? Do you feel that the one that will perhaps be the last person standing, the last company standing, is the one that can collaborate the most? Or do you think the one that would be the last one standing would be the one that is investing the most, fundraising to a point where you can build faster and cheaper compared to your competitors? What's the strategy to be, I guess, the strongest amongst equals, if I would use that term?
Yeah, I don't like your picture of the last one standing, because I hope there will be more than one standing in the end, because the industry and the ecosystem needs a number. needs a number of players to work together, and all of them bring their individual strengths to the party. Now, in your either or question, it's a tricky one, because I think you need a mix of both. You need definitely the openness. We are convinced of that. And I don't know if you followed the discussion on the Open RAN, which is quite a revolution on the radio access networks. We were the only ones of the established big vendors that were advocating for the Open RAN alliance from the very beginning, because that's something that we believe in open ecosystems of working together. On the other hand, your second point is, of course, likewise important. You need to invest, and we have streamlined very much of our investment into R&D on 5G, but also in other parts of the network. A lot is happening on fiber, a lot on the cloud. So I think you need both. If I probably not the answer that you want to say, I think both elements that you mentioned are very are very important for long-term success, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, either or is never the option for doing a business, but that's the thing about prioritization, which one would work better. But it seems like the way you have elaborated, both are equally important in order for you to succeed, which makes sense in terms of the consolidation that is currently happening in this country when it comes to the telco operators. We have to end this show, but before we end, any final words, Daniel, you want to share with us?
No, I think it was a special year for all of us, the last 12 months. I think telecommunications industry, and I don't mean us as Nokia, I mean really all of us together, we have proven the resilience that the networks have, the strength that is in the networks, the flexibility that is there. Look at all the digital transformation that has been accelerated by COVID. So it's definitely an exciting place to be, and definitely as you alluded to in the very beginning, in Malaysia in particular, with everything that is going to happen over the next months and quarters and years, and we're very excited to be part of that.
Daniel, as always, it's a pleasure speaking to you, and also pleasure speaking to Nokia. You know, I promise you this, if we are all allowed to travel again, please come over to the studio. I'd like to have you in the studio. We can have a lot more conversations, particularly when it comes to the government of Malaysia. I know you're not very comfortable talking about that, but I really want to know more about DNB, about spectrum allocation, about MCMC, and so much more. But that was our conversation with Daniel Yeager, the head of Southeast Asia at Nokia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for Nokia on Astro Awani website. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.